Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome, everybody, to the Boiler Alert Podcast. With you, as always, I am your host, Andrew Ledman.
I'm Ryan Bonaparte.
Today, we are talking football, football, football. We got the NFL draft, which was concluded this weekend. And then we've got the transfer portal, which, as of right now, at the time of our recording, is still open for another 3 hours and 40 minutes. So we're going to talk about who is in and who is out at Purdue football. But keep in mind, given that it is still open as of our recording, this may not be a final list. So wanted to just put that out at the top so everybody knows this is not definitive. But Ryan, we haven't had a question for a couple weeks. I've got what I think is going to be a pretty easy Purdue-centric question for you.
Okay.
All right. You're aware, of course, of the delicious diner, the Triple X.
Yes.
Been there a time or two?
A couple times.
Yeah. So my question, how do you feel about the Dwayne Purvis peanut butter burger? Yes or no?
Yes to the burger. But if any of that peanut butter comes off that burger and gets on my fries, the meal is ruined.
Okay. I respect that, but you're going to get it everywhere because it's so hot and melty.
Yes. And I usually avoid it for that fact.
Gotcha.
Like, I'm fine with it. It doesn't overpower the burger. Peanut butter is fine. It's just if any of it comes off, it's an issue. And I'm not the cleanest eater, but I'm not super sloppy. So I usually ask for another dish. The last time I got it, I asked for another dish for my fries.
Well, aren't you just a fancy boy?
I mean, I can't have it touch my fries.
Okay. Nope. So if you order the Purvis, do you get anything else on it other than the cheese and the peanut butter?
No.
Good. That is the correct answer, because if you'll recall, when Triple X was on Diners, Drive-In, and Dives, he got the Purvis with like the lettuce and the tomato on it, and he hated it. But to me, the problem is the lettuce and the tomato. You got to go just the burger, the cheese, and the peanut butter, and that's how you get the perfection of the Purvis.
Okay. See, the lettuce is less offensive to me to put on it, so I'd be okay if you got cheese, peanut butter, and lettuce. It's the tomatoes. You get that acid with the peanut butter, that doesn't seem like a good combination.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to get lettuce or tomato on a burger regardless. It's just not for me. But I feel like with the peanut butter, it's just you got to make a decision. Are you having a burger that's like traditional, or you having a peanut butter burger? Because if you want the peanut butter burger, just get rid of the lettuce and tomato and go all out. I think that's my recommendation for anybody who's not been to Triple X or who's not had the Purvis burger. That's just, you know, it's top notch food science right there.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Love it. One more food science. I'm currently drinking the new Mountain Dew flavor, Mountain Dew Summer Freeze.
Okay.
Quite delicious. It tastes like a Rocket Pop.
Okay. I'm pretty sure I know what a Rocket Pop is.
That's the red, white, and blue popsicle.
Okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
It's very good. Probably will be drinking more at the 4th of July. So there you go. There's my two recommendations at the top. Dwayne Purvis Burger, No Lettuce and Tomato, and Mountain Dew Summer Freeze. Give it a taste. So,
not Peeps flavored either.
No, not this time. Although a Peeps flavored Mountain Dew, I'm interested.
You're just giving them free ideas.
Yeah, I really shouldn't. You know, they're gonna take this idea next Easter. I'm gonna be out millions of dollars. All right. So the NFL draft started last Thursday and ended yesterday. There were five, count them, 5 Purdue Boilermakers taken in the NFL draft, which was the most since 2004, since my freshman year at Purdue. It's just wild that it's been that long since we've had 5 Boilermakers taken in the NFL draft. So great few days overall for the Purdue Boilermakers on the national stage. Five players drafted, 5 different teams. So, Ryan, of the 5 Boilermakers drafted, who was the one picked first off the board?
First off the board was Chuck Sizzle Charlie Jones.
Nice.
In the 4th round, the 131st pick.
And like where is Charlie Jones making his new home?
Cincinnati. He's going to be a Cincinnati Bengal with T. Higgins and Joey Burrow.
Joey B.
Yep. So that's going to be an interesting combo. Joey Burrow just gets all the fun weapons.
He does. I mean, honestly, it's a really great spot for a wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
And he won't even be the only Purdue Boilermaker on that team, assuming, you know, he goes through and makes the squad, because Marcus Bailey is on the Bengals and is still there. He was drafted, 2 years ago?
Yes.
So,
no, 3.
Oh, okay.
2020?
Yeah, sure. so, like, you know, he won't even be the only Boilermaker there. Granted, they had no overlap because, of course, Charlie Jones came over from Iowa. But, man, you know, great story for Charlie Jones. Comes up after being a walk-on at Iowa for a little while because of a transfer and then not getting used, comes over to Purdue, and then we all know what he did last year with becoming an All-American at the wide receiver position. Just an absolutely dominating year. And now he found himself drafted, and you can guarantee this would not have happened had he stayed at Iowa.
Nope, he may be the poster child for the transfer portal.
Absolutely.
That's for sure.
Absolutely.
At least in the, you know, in the Big Ten.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, he made his entire career in one season at Purdue. He's the same guy, same player. We just used him, and Iowa didn't.
Yep. So I wonder if he'll be a special teams guy at first with the Bengals as well, if they'll make him the punt returner or even a kickoff returner.
Yeah, I mean, he did some of that at Purdue, of course. I mean, and at Iowa, that was really what he was known for more at Iowa, as a return specialist. Again, because they just didn't use him because nepotism runs wild at Iowa. And Brian Ferentz somehow still has a job. But, I'm sure if you're Charlie Jones, you'll do whatever you got to do to stick in the NFL and get yourself that contract. So I think you're onto something there. I wouldn't be surprised to see him doing punt returns or kick returns, at least, you know, in his first season, and maybe he'll be able to stick around at the wide receiver position, because we've clearly seen what he can do. I mean, All-American at the receiver position, runs great routes, great hands. Not the speediest guy in the world, but he's not slow by any means.
Right. Yeah, so absolutely, as you said, do whatever you can to stay on an NFL roster, make the big boy money, and go from there.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, kudos to him. Great spot for him, I think. Excellent offense there in Cincinnati. And they've got some really good-looking uniforms, if you're into that. If you're looking to buy a Charlie Jones jersey, they've got some really nice versions over there. I know the all-white is kind of people love it or hate it. But I think that's a pretty cool looking jersey. So if you're looking for a Charlie Jones jersey, you might have some options coming up this coming season.
Yeah.
Now,
for sure.
Who was next off the board for our Boilermakers?
Yeah, four picks after Charlie Jones was his quarterback, Aiden O'Connell, in the fourth round as well, to the Las Vegas Raiders. He will join the quarterback room, Jimmy Garoppolo and Brian Hoyer.
And the Raiders actually traded up to get him.
Yep. So, I mean, with Jimmy G getting injured as often as he does,
right?
And Brian Hoyer's kind of a wild card.
Yeah, Brian Hoyer, you know.
You might see Aiden O'Connell get some play time.
Yeah, I thought of that too. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo, obviously a very talented quarterback, going to try to be the franchise quarterback now in Las Vegas, but he has had some real problems with the injury bug ever since he has been in San Francisco. So it'll be interesting to see if he can stay healthy. And it almost is like yet another story of Aiden O'Connell starting low on the depth chart and trying to work his way up. I mean, we remember at Purdue, he started out, what, sixth in the on the depth chart? And then due to injuries, transfers, other things, you know, just surpassing a couple guys, he wound up as the starter. Former walk-on came on and became one of, I think, actually the most accurate passer in Purdue history. So, I mean, I wouldn't count Aiden O'Connell out by any means. You know, he's going to struggle with mobility in the NFL, going against, obviously, such talented and athletic players on the defensive end. But if he's got a good offensive line around him, I mean, he can sling the ball. So he's not a guy I would ever count out, given his history.
Yeah, and it never hurts to throw the ball to Davante Adams.
Yeah.
So I think that it would be – he might have sort of like a career arc similar to David Blau, where you may start as a, you know, backup, and then eventually you get your shot, and people kind of see, okay, you've been able to play this whole time. But, you know, obviously it's a difficult path to become a starter or even a backup in the NFL. But
right.
I think Aiden O'Connell has clearly shown he has the drive to keep moving forward and advancing his career, so the sky's the limit for AOC.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean it's interesting because you're going to play in Las Vegas for the Raiders, which on the one hand you're like, okay, you know, pretty cool place to live. You always got stuff to do, always got stuff going on. Not really sure Aiden O'Connell is the kind of guy that's gonna, you know, take advantage of the nightlife of Las Vegas, given what we know of him. But hey, you know, newly married man, I'm sure he's gonna be happy to start building a family there in Las Vegas. But also, the unfortunate thing is you have to play for the Raiders, and, you know, the ownership of the Raiders, questionable at best, especially in the haircut department.
But you can just see Aiden O'Connell growing a full, like, handlebar mustache, right?
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely could, yeah.
Yeah, go full Fu Manchu.
That would certainly be interesting. I wouldn't put it past him. I mean, I don't think anybody would say his previous facial hair was good looking by any means. So he certainly doesn't have a history of making the best choices, I think, with his facial hair. So maybe if he does it again, this one will look good. Maybe, you know, just by the odds, maybe he'll have a good looking facial hair. Who knows?
Who knows?
All right, that is two Boilermakers off the board. Who is number three?
Well, this one I'm sure you're the most excited about.
Okay.
It is Payne Durham going in the fifth round, pick 171, to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yes. I was very excited. Very excited. For those that don't know, I am a huge Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan. All goes back to my love of Mike Allstott. And him heading to Tampa Bay, and that's kind of how I got roped into being a Buccaneers fan. A lot of years of heartbreak as a Buccaneers fan, but, you know, two sweet, sweet Super Bowl victories, the most recent one, of course, with Tom Brady, which was something I never thought I would say, but here we are. And, you know, the Buccaneers have room for a good tight end if they can find one.
Yep.
you know, they of course they had Gronk for a few years there with Brady, and then Gronk retired for the second time, I think it was. And, you know, they didn't really have the same kind of weapons last year with Gronk gone. So he definitely is going to have an opportunity to come in and find a roster spot at that tight end position, because the Tampa Bay offense, they love to have tight ends who can catch the ball. They're asked to block, of course, just like every tight end is, but they love the pass-catching tight end more so than they do the big, burly, blocking tight end. And Payne Durham, you know, he can block his a fair share, but he's definitely known more as a receiving threat out of the tight end position.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I think he's got – I would say this is probably one of the best fits of the Purdue players drafted. Just because the way Tampa Bay runs their offense, as you said, that tight end heavy offense can be. So Payne Durham, I can see him probably putting on a little bit of weight for this role. But even if he doesn't, he might be able to sort of try doing the Darren Waller approach, where you have a lighter tight end where it's almost like a half tight end, half wide receiver. I know offensive love that now, because the more your players catch the ball, the better. So
yeah,
definitely some options for Payne Durham, and I'm sure NFL coaches are going to tell him what they want him to do.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, in the offseason, the Bucs got rid of Cameron Brate, who was one of their tight ends. They now just have Cade Otton as their starter. And if you look at the depth chart for Tampa Bay at the tight end position, Payne Durham has actually slotted into the number two slot there. And, you know, Tampa Bay does run the occasional two tight end set. So, I mean, he's setting himself up to have the opportunity to play at his, you know, desired position from the jump. So mm-hmm. I do think it is a great situation for him. The only problem, Tom Brady's not there anymore.
No, he's not.
It is Baker Mayfield's show, and... You know, I'm a Bucs fan, so I'm going to try to be as positive about it as I can. Baker Mayfield, an incredibly talented quarterback, but just, you know, he got stuck in Cleveland, and that's never good for anybody. And
never want to get stuck in there.
And now he's found himself a second home in Tampa Bay as they struggled after, you know, finding out that Brady was gone for good this time. And we'll see how it works out. You know, there's a lot of good weapons on that Tampa Bay team. They've got Mike Evans, Chris Godwin. They're both still there. We will see how things shake out at that quarterback position. Baker Mayfield definitely going to be the starter, because the backup is Kyle Trask. And if you're asking yourself, who is Kyle Trask? You are not alone. So, what'd you say?
University of Florida?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. He was drafted in 2021 in the second round. But I mean, you know, not done a whole lot of anything in the NFL as of yet. So Baker Mayfield will be the guy there, and let's hope, for Payne Durham's sake, that he can be kind of like the safety valve, for a guy like Baker Mayfield, and, right. Be the one who he looks to when he gets a little pressure on him. So that would be a great position for Payne Durham.
Yeah. And I will say Baker Mayfield is like, he's a quarterback that always goes with vibes. When I think of him, I think of he's a vibey quarterback, and Payne Durham kind of has those vibes as well.
So I don't love that. I don't love that as my franchise quarterback. Is the best thing you can say about him is he has vibes and goes on vibes. I don't love it, Ryan.
Well, sometimes it'd be like that. You can't always have Tom Brady as your quarterback.
I know, it's true. You as a Bears fan of all people know that.
Yeah, I do.
You know,
hey, bad man's gone out of the Bears division. I'm happy.
The
Aaron Rodgers is gone.
The best quarterback in Bears franchise history.
Yeah.
McMahon, something. I guess?
The it's funky either QB? McMahon, Cutler, or if you're really
it's Kyle Orton.
Justin Fields.
It's Kyle Orton.
Yeah, it's Kyle Orton. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's three
Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah. Three Boilermakers off the board. Who is the fourth?
Yeah. Yeah, the next pick for Purdue is Corey Trice Jr. out to Pittsburgh in the seventh round, pick 241.
All right, heading to Pittsburgh with the Steelers, a team known for defense.
That so, they are.
You know, that says something about him, that they believe in him. I don't know much about the current state of the Steelers' defensive backfield, but there's a good coaching staff there, and hopefully, you know, they've done their due diligence. They know who he is, and they can work Trice in, whether that be in, you know, a nickel or a dime package, and find his way in the NFL, because he's got a lot of talent and real nose for the football. But man, it's tough to find your way onto the field consistently as a good defensive back, I think.
Yeah, and Trice was the second cornerback they took in this draft, the first being Joey Porter Jr. out of Penn State.
Right.
So the Steelers have this thing where they always get very athletic cornerbacks, and I think Corey Trice showed that in his combine, that he is lengthy and athletic, and that's something that normally the Steelers are all about, and it usually works.
Yeah, that's so for sure.
That's one of the defenses where you think, okay, someone's going to go there, they're going to do well in that defense.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. I'll tell you what, DB or safety is not a position I would ever want to play, because no one pays attention to you like 90% of the time. If, you know, if your guy's not open, no one's going to really congratulate you, but you make one mistake, you get burnt one time, suddenly your name's all over everybody's mouth, man. It's like being a goalie in soccer. I wouldn't want to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like all it takes is one mistake, and then you look like you played terrible all game, but that's just not the case. Must be right. Tough. Must be tough. All right. Yep. So there is four. Who is the last Boilermaker drafted, and where are they headed, Ryan?
Yep, so the last one is Jalen Graham. He went in the seventh round, pick 255. I think that was like fourth or fifth to last pick, and he's going to the Bay. He's going to San Francisco to be a 49er.
That's right. So Jalen Graham, if I'm remembering correctly, did himself no favors at the Combine and Purdue Pro Day. Right. Is that right? He had a really poor performance. So that could explain why he fell so far in this draft, which was surprising to me that he did so poorly, because I thought Jalen Graham was, of these guys that were drafted, I thought honestly he probably had the best chance in my mind to find a place in the NFL and stick around, because he is so talented. But I don't know what happened at the Combine or Purdue's Pro Day for him, but it certainly, I think, hurt his draft stock. But now that's all out the window. I mean, you're drafted where you're drafted, and you just hope he can, you know, find the form he found at Purdue before the kind of the injury hit him. And he is incredibly talented, and I think if given the right opportunity, he can find and stick on a roster.
Yeah, and that's another defense where you go to, and it's pretty nice to go to. San Francisco through the years has had a very very useful defense. I know Kyle Shanahan is more of an offensive coach, but coming into this, it should be a good fit for him. Again, they like, I mean, every NFL team likes athletes, but some just have a better knack at finding them and putting them to use on defense, and San Francisco is one of those teams. It's not like they always choose the most bruising players, but they definitely choose players who will make an impact. So if by nothing else, if that's what they see in Jalen Graham, then that's fantastic. His pro day, it's going to really reduce his check size at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But by all means, if he has the talent, which we all think he does watching him play at Purdue, he's going to find a spot on one of these teams.
Yeah.
This is where your talent will come through, and the measurables are less impactful.
Yeah. Yeah, and you hope whatever amount it cost him on that first rookie contract, you hope he can make it up with the second contract, that he can go out there and prove, you know, hey, I'm better than what I did on this one day where everyone was poking and prodding me. So you hope he's just... he can show he's better than that. He can find himself a spot in San Francisco and work toward that second contract, which is where he could make a whole lot of money. There we go. There we go. Five Boilermakers drafted. Great day for Purdue, most in the draft since 2004. Overall, just, you know, I think a lot of these guys have found themselves in pretty good spots. And now, you know, the hard work really begins as they head to camp, go to rookie camp, you know, get accumulated, get their playbooks, and football becomes their, not only just their life, but their jobs now. And in the NFL, as in every pro sport, you know, so much of what you do comes back to how much effort and how much, you know, study you put into it. And you hope these guys who have shown so much at Purdue can really go out there, put their nose to the grindstone, and come out with some good stats their freshman, their rookie years, and find a way to stick in the league, because we need more Boilermakers in the league.
I should also note there was another Boilermaker who was signed undrafted.
Okay.
It was Reese Taylor. He was signed with the Kansas City Chiefs. So
there you go.
For the moment, he is teammates with George Karlaftis.
Good, good. I'll tell you, there is something to be said about if you're going to be picked at like the bottom of the draft, there's almost something to be said about being an undrafted you know, free agent, because then at least you get a little bit of choice where you're going to go.
Right.
But, you know, you'd rather have the guarantee of getting your name called. Because if you're an undrafted free agent, that phone just might not ring. But, you know, you just, they got to find a spot, and hopefully he can hang on in Kansas City or show something there that another GM likes, and he can find a spot in the NFL. It's a tough business out there, but now we've got five Boilermakers drafted, at least one more signed as a free agent. So love getting those guys in the league, and let's hope they stick. So there we go. There's the draft. We're going to take a quick break, come back, talk to you about the transfer portal, which as of now, still open for 3 hours and 15 minutes. So we'll see what happens after that. We'll be right back with you.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
All right, and we are back. So, transfer portal, it giveth and taketh. So again, there's over 3 hours left in the transfer portal window, so these names and numbers are not final. But right now, Purdue has had quite a few departures. Not Colorado level departures, but we're certainly getting up there in numbers. But before we get into who is leaving us, Ryan, can you take a look at some of the portal additions and tell me names that stick out to you? We don't need to mention Hudson Card, because obviously we've already talked about him in the past. He came in from Texas, and he's currently slated as the number one quarterback. But of all the guys that have come in for Purdue so far this year, who else sticks out for you?
Yeah, I would say the three names that stick out the biggest to me are probably Marquise Wilson out of Penn State. I mean, obviously, if you're taken, if you're signed by Penn State, you've got to be a good player. So him coming over to us,
and he's a quarterback, we should say.
Yeah, cornerback. Yep. So the other two names that really stick out to me are Anthony Brown from Arkansas. I know he had a little bit of off-field issues, right. But we could always have another Anthony Brown at Purdue.
That's right. They That's right. The last one worked out pretty well. Played for the Cowboys for quite a few years, too. Mm-hmm.
For sure. Still on the NFL roster, I believe. And then the other one is Jeffrey Mbah. He's a newer signing, signed just 5 days ago on Auburn. He's a defensive end.
And he is a big, big boy.
Yes. Yes, he is. But for all that size, he's still pretty quick.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we all know the SEC, they have them athletes down
Well,
there,
we
so.
Know a lot about Auburn, too.
Yeah. So,
not
that's
good things.
Gonna be, I think he'll be a very impactful player for Purdue, and that's something really Purdue hasn't had too much of since Karlaftis left.
Right.
That outside rush presence.
Yeah, yeah, it's been
so
really lacking.
It's always important. So.
Yeah, and I want to mention, you said Anthony Brown coming over from Arkansas. He is a safety. Mm-hmm. So two of the three guys you mentioned, both in the defensive backfield, which has really been a problem for Purdue. You know, we can't seem to get a consistent set of corners and safeties. We seem to get picked on at least one of those positions and get the same guy picked on over and over again, and that certainly wears on you as a fan.
Yep. And you can definitely tell that Ryan Walters is definitely going after defensive players. He wants defensive playmakers. Of the 11 additions so far through the portal, seven of them are on defense. So it's definitely going to make an impact.
Yeah.
Whether or not all of these players play, that's to be determined. But, I mean, having that depth is so important in college.
Yeah. Yeah,
so,
and I mean,
definitely makes a big difference.
You know, you're looking at the guys who come in, and I can't pretend to be an expert on all of them, but you just look at the schools they're coming in from. And to your point earlier about Marquise Wilson, you know, when you've signed to Penn State, you've got some talent. You may not have utilized it. You've maybe, you know, one reason or another, you're leaving. But it's undeniable that you're a talented player because Penn State is a good program. So you look at where these guys that Purdue is getting are coming from. We've got two guys from Arkansas, a guy from Auburn, a guy from Stanford, which, you know, Stanford, not a powerhouse, but you got to at least have some smarts if you're going to Stanford. And, you know, you've got a guy from Missouri, so, the SEC. So Texas, we got, of course, Hudson Card from Texas. So we're getting guys from schools who have good pedigrees for bringing in talent. So that, to me, is a good sign. Whereas, you know, I can't necessarily look at Daniel Hawthorne, the long snapper from Missouri, and I'm like, well, of course, they have a history of great long snappers. But, you know, you're like, he's coming from Missouri. You've got Jeffrey Mbah coming from Auburn. Isaiah Nichols, defensive tackle from Arkansas. You're like, okay, these guys came from Arkansas. You got to assume there's some talent there. The same with Anthony Brown. So I'm really excited about what can happen with these guys and see if any more come in the next few hours. I know there's some loopholes where you can continue to recruit them if they're in the portal going forward. It's all a blur to me, to be honest. It changes so often, but... I think you highlighted some really important guys. Trying to shore up that defensive backfield is going to be a huge key for this Purdue squad. So, players in the portal for Purdue. If my numbers are accurate here, Purdue has had 21 players enter the transfer portal.
I believe that's correct, and so far 9 of them have found a landing spot. So you can definitely come back out of the portal. That is something we should mention.
Yes.
But, you know, nine guys have found a new home, and there's some pretty big names on that list.
Yeah.
So some of the major ones, we have Branson Dean going to Miami. We have Lawrence Johnson going to Auburn. So, as you said, the portal giveth and taketh from Auburn.
Yep.
We have Kobe Lewis going to Florida Atlantic, Eric Miller following Jeff Brohm to Louisville, and a few others. Spencer Holstead is going to UCLA. Sione Finau is going to Arizona State. Greg Hudgens is going to Charlotte. And lastly, two more. Jack Sullivan going to USC, and Ricky Smith, who has not played a snap at Purdue, but he is going to Middle Tennessee.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, there are definitely some names who you would like to not see in there. Yeah. You know, Branson Dean is one. King Doru.
George Johnson.
Yeah, King Doru. We lost three running backs, so that's a little hard on the depth, but we hope we can, you know, work with what we've got. Obviously, Devin Mockabee should carry most of the load at the running back position, but you always want to have depth because you just never know with health and everything else. College football is a tough sport. So Jack Sullivan, of course, like you said, another one. And I'm a little worried about the offensive line now. You know, you mentioned Eric Miller heading to Louisville. He was an offensive tackle. We've got Spencer Holstead going to UCLA. He was a guard. Finau going to Arizona State, another guard. So we're losing a lot of guys on the offensive line, and I just hope who we're bringing in and who we're developing can fill those holes. And the quarterback position is also a worry with both Brady Allen and Alimo both heading out the door. So now a lot of weight falls on Hudson Card's shoulders to be everything we need him to be, because behind him, not a lot of experience.
Yes, and this is the second time Brady Allen has entered the portal.
Yeah, and I would imagine he's staying this time. I can't. I wouldn't want him back at this point. Like, that's speaking me as a fan, but also if I'm Ryan Walters and a guy goes into the portal, you convince him to come back, and then, you know, a month and a half later he leaves again to the portal. I'm like, okay, just go. Like, on the one hand, I get it because he wanted to see what the new offense would be, what the new coaching staff would be. But, right, like, you can do that via a conversation. You didn't need to come back for an entire spring.
Yeah. See, and another position group that is somewhat worrisome is Purdue is losing three players out of – or four players in the secondary.
Yeah.
A couple names just decided to transfer. Well, three different cornerbacks just decided to transfer, and Jordan Buchanan, Brandon Callaway, and T. Denson, all within the last 3 days, have entered the portal.
Yeah.
And then add that to Ricky Smith as well. He's just defensive back, so he can play safety as well. But that's really why I imagine Ryan Walters is trying to hit so hard on the defensive end.
Yeah,
because, you know, it's a pretty solid exchange when it comes to that. But these players, you don't know if Ryan Walters, we mentioned this before, if he's bringing in higher talent than what we're used to. You know, these guys may not have a role anymore, and the transfer portal lets them find something to play somewhere else. So
yeah,
I definitely get it. I understand. Everyone has their reason, and none of them are the same. Like, there's so many different reasons to enter the transfer portal, but these players, it's the unfortunate consequence of the transfer portal is you get attached to these players, they go, and they need to go, but, I mean, it's what's best for the athletes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's... I think I wrote about this in the roundtable we posted yesterday, about the transfer portal in general. I love it as someone who really thinks the players deserve more. You know, they've been locked into positions for so long where the coach can leave anytime and there's no harm on the coach, but a player leaves, you know, and suddenly they got to sit out a year, waste a year of their time before they can play. So I love that the players have more power, but yeah, as just a fan of your team, it's very difficult because you're watching these guys come in, you're really excited for them, and then they leave either right as they're getting good, or you never even got to see them have a chance. And so it's hard to get attached as much to these players these days because you just never know how long they're going to stick around. But overall, I really hope these additions outweigh the subtractions. There's still a few hours left here, so we'll see if anything else changes. But that's kind of where things stand right now. So, Ryan, anything else you want to mention about anybody coming or going in the transfer portal?
I think it's also kind of an important distinction that several of these players that are leaving are grad transfers.
Yeah.
So, for example, Jack Sullivan, Eric Miller, Kobe Lewis, Lawrence Johnson, Spencer Holstedge, and Branson Dean, and Kyle Bilodeau. I think I pronounced that correctly.
I think
correct.
It's Bilodeau.
I've never been able to pronounce that correctly. But all of those are graduate transfers, so...
Yeah, and those are pretty much, like, no offense to Bilodeau.
The main hitters.
Yeah, those are the guys, minus Bilodeau, who I would love to stay. And they're the ones leaving, so that is what hurts. So I guess in a way, that's not the transfer portal's fault, because they are grad transfers.
Mm-hmm, for sure. So, as you said, it giveth and it taketh, and no matter what, it still hurts.
Yeah, yep. So that's where we stand right now. We'll keep paying attention to this, and should Purdue grab any big names, we will certainly keep you updated. But that is going to be all for us this week. For Ryan and myself, thanks so much for joining us. Boiler up.
Hammer down.